Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And what's going on is a look ahead at the news that you will need this week. Joining us in studio, Marcus Mabry, editor-at-large for the International Herald Tribune, the international edition of our partner, the New York Times, and Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and our co-producer, WNYC. The gang's all here. Thanks for coming in.
You bet. Good to get the band back together.
And let's forget those good feelings and start talking about Greece. Obviously, Greece is yet again being pointed to as being possible to drag down the entire Eurozone. What are the chances here that these talks will fail, that Greece will leave the Euro? I mean, what do we expect from Greece?
Well, it's quite astounding. You know, just a few months ago, most people would have told you there was little chance in Greece leaving the Euro.
Yeah.
But what we've had is an election that was a repudiation of austerity and the austerity imposed by Europe and by Greece's international creditors. And what we're finding now in the last 48 hours, we had the Greeks trying to form a coalition government that could move forward because no one actually won those elections outright. And what we found is the parties that felt like they did much better than the parties that were actually in power during the austerity pacts said they will not go along with those austerity plans. They will not go along with those deals that were cut with their creditors. That means that if no one can actually form a majority, we're going to have new elections in Greece on June 17th, most likely. And in the meantime, we have European finance ministers will meet today at the end of the day in Brussels, and then tomorrow we'll have the new president of France, also elected in part because Nicolas Sarkozy was not liked at all, but also elected in part because the French were tired with their.
But it feels like there's just this sense in the air, and maybe I'm wrong here, of, okay, maybe this is going to happen. Maybe Greece will leave. But there's almost like this fatigue of trying to save Greece and provide them the funds that they need. I mean, this could be wrong. Something could be worked out before what looks likely to be another election in June. But there just feels this sense of, okay, maybe we really should start accepting that Greece may step out of the union. And what's really important here is that later this week, the G8, the world's largest countries really will be here in the United States, meeting with President Obama. And this becomes crucial for him because if Greece, say, if this were to happen, let's say it happens in the summer, it happens in the fall, what happens from that? How does Europe's economy then end up affecting our economy here? I mean, the stability of the not just Europe from its financial situation, but also its economy will have direct impacts here. If the president wants anything from this meeting coming up later this week, it's an element of stability, or can you at least wait till after the election if you're going to step out of the Euro?
which unfortunately, I guarantee you, he will not have that luxury.
No, will he be able to call the shots on them of can you do it at this date? It works better for me.
You know, oddly, and I wonder, Marcus, if this has been kind of brewing in Europe for a while, is this emergence of Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, mm-hmm. as sort of the big bad guy. She was the bad guy in the French elections. People, to a certain extent, thought Sarkozy was too cozy with her. In Greece, very unpopular.
And there were actually elections in Germany's most populous state yesterday, in which her party fared very well, very poorly. So this is, it's really unfair. I mean, in Europe, it's true. She's become this symbol all over the whole southern tier of Europe, from Italy spreading over to Spain and Portugal and up to France. It's not fair. I mean, Germans certainly, because Germans have this fear that goes back historically to World War II, they felt like, Hitler rose to power because of inflation. They have a fear of inflation. The Germans believe you should never have too much debt. They're right. They were right. However, Europe had too much debt, and Europe has now put on the brakes too abruptly. It's really ironic, because if you look back to G8 that happened in Canada a few years ago, it was one of President Obama's first or second G8, and it was in Canada, and the Obama administration went up there, and Geithner went up there, and the Americans figured, we're pushing for more growth, more government spending.
Cheerleaders.
And what happened was the Europeans and the Canadians shockingly said, no, we're not going to spend any more money. We believe in austerity. We're going to cut deficits. That's what we have to do right now. That cutting of deficits, and Paul Krugman in the Times will tell you a lot about this, was the wrong thing to do. And so the Obama administration got some growth spending, but not enough. The Europeans put on the brakes, did not spend anything. And now they're in this deceleration cycle whereby they keep digging the hole deeper and deeper because they don't want to spend any more money. And so their economies keep getting less and less money come into them. You can't grow your way. You can't cut your way to growth.
All right. So, Charlie, let's talk about growth and the U.S. economy, because as every week, we do have sort of economic figures coming out. We're going to hear about inflation this week, which we don't hear about it very often because it hasn't been a problem.
No, it really hasn't been. And I mean, one of the biggest driving factors of inflation will be gas prices. And we saw this huge surge just a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago. The whole debate was about, or the political debate was becoming, what are we going to do about rising gas prices? And interestingly enough, we've really seen them drop dramatically. They're down about 18 cents compared to a year ago. This is for a variety of factors, including the fact that that switchover we hear from the winter to the summer season, right, that's happened. We're not seeing people consuming as much. We're not seeing the threats and the worries that we had from overseas. The rhetoric that we were hearing coming out of Iran or possible attacks, that's calmed down. So we've seen this drop in gas prices. We've just sort of seen a stable inflation, which makes it easier for the Fed to maneuver. It makes it easier from an economic point of view that people aren't suffering as much if the inflation were going up, because wages are not going up as fast as people would hope as the economy is kind of bumping along.
Although people are spending.
People are spending, and we'll get retail sales figures this week as well. But people were spending a couple months ago, and they sort of expected that they may not spend as much this last month. I mean, again, things are bumping along here, and this goes back to Europe again, of what happens there could end up having more of an impact than sort of what's happening in the moment.
We're doing way better than Europe, right?
We're doing much better than Europe, for sure.
No question about it. Americans may not believe it, but we are doing so much better than Europe. In Europe, there's this real sense of malaise and depression almost that's happening there.
And the weather to match it, right. Let's talk about since Charlie was wondering whether or not Greece is going to affect the U.S. election, we know for sure at this point, I think we can safely say that gay marriage is going to affect the U.S. election. And, you know, looking back to 2004, which would have been arguably the last time gay marriage played a real role in the presidential politics, I wonder if maybe the dialogue has completely changed this time in this short period of years.
It's really interesting. So yes, it has changed. And what we should really be looking for this week is to see, does the issue retain a kind of resonance it had last week? Last week, it really kind of roiled the political debate. It was kind of tossed out there, not surprisingly, originally because of Joe Biden's slip of the tongue, as usual. And that kind of exploded everything in this campaign. The Romney campaign does not want this to be an issue. The Romney campaign wants economics to be an issue. They don't want social issues of any kind to be the issue in this election. They feel their best chance of winning independents, winning conservative Democrats, is actually not to be talking about social issues where the Obama administration can paint them as being radical and right-wing and off to the side of most Americans. They want to fight on economic issues, saying that Mitt Romney will be a technocrat. This is a big term in Europe right now, a technocrat who can save the economy while Americans are disillusioned. This has worked in lots of European elections so far. Mitt Romney hopes that Obama will be just like Sarkozy, one of those people to fall because of the disillusionment of his people for the economic situation.
So
he does not want it to be about social issues.
They're hoping that technocrat will be as damning a title as, say, socialist.
And Obama, to be parochial, Obama is here in New York today, the president, and he's on The View. He's giving a speech at a commencement speech or a graduation speech, I should say, at Barnard. And this topic will probably come up and be raised, whether or not it carries on, I think, is the question that Marcus is raising. Does it sort of die down this week, or does it change the focus?
There is quite a bit of time left before the election, that's for sure. Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway, and our co-producer, WNYC. Marcus Mabry, editor-in-large at the International Herald Tribune. That's the international edition of our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.